Welcome to episode number 8 of the Foodie Flashback, the podcast where we talk about food and food-related memories, whether you're a foodie or not. With me, I have someone I've known for, I don't even exactly know how long. I was like, when we set this up, I was thinking about it. I was like, when was the first time we interacted? So I have Beth with me from Phoenix. In person, I might know, like 2018, probably 17, 18-ish. But
I would say that's.
But I seem to recall that we like somehow had a video call way before that, somewhere.
Yes, I think probably prior to the big project that we had at work. So
yeah, something like that. It was like, but I could not remember exactly why and exactly when. I was like, I just remember, yeah, I think I talked to you like at some point with Chris probably. Yeah, anyway, yeah. Like I know you from Phoenix, you worked for me for a little while. Now you work for someone else.
Completely. Yes, thankfully.
No, it's fine.
I liked working for you. I didn't like working for the company. Yeah, so
I totally get that. I can relate. So I wanted to talk to you because I think you have a really interesting story, even though you told me you're like, I don't know what to talk about. because of your like whole background and because of what you've told me about like growing up and like all the animals involved and all of that. I was like, there are probably stories in there that you haven't unearthed. So I always like to ask first, like, what's your definition of a foodie and do you consider yourself one?
Okay. My definition of a foodie, I guess, is pretty snobbish. So it would be somebody who's a big food connoisseur. That is not me. I enjoy consuming food. but I would not say I am a foodie by any stretch of the imagination. I love to eat. I've gotten a lot more, I wouldn't even call it experimental because I come from a very picky eating background. Mm-hmm. So, I've gotten a little bit more adventurous and definitely found that there's a lot more out there that I didn't know I liked. And as the years have progressed, I keep finding more and more.
Yeah. And I mean, Phoenix is a pretty cool place for, like, to be adventurous and also to enjoy food. I mean, there's so much there. I mean, it's
I didn't even like Mexican until I moved here. And then it was probably about 3 or 4 years. And now I can't live without tacos. So
that took you a long, long time then. I mean,
yes, I came from a very, very picky, limited background. Mm-hmm. The whole family, very standard type meals. Mm-hmm. Nothing above salt and pepper and maybe a little garlic.
what kind of dishes that like did your family eat? Like what were the things that you remember?
My mom gardened, so she would can her own veggies and stuff. So one of the big staples, it was a lot of comfort food because I'm from back east in Ohio. And we had winters, so we did things like beef stew and green beans and ham, chili, hamburgers. Where I'm from in Ohio, we have a little town called Barberton, and they are known for their fried chicken.
Wow. Okay.
And like world known, like if you look up Barberton chicken, you will find that it's like the top in the country. Just tiny little podunk town, but they're really known for their fried chicken. That was our big restaurant eating out when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So fried chicken.
Well, it is good. Like, I mean, not gonna lie. The few times I've had fried chicken, it was really good. I'm like, it's its own thing. Like it is really good. Like if it's prepared well, it is really good. Like,
yeah.
Like what kind of food, like you said picky. I mean, so far it's sounds pretty broad. Like, I mean, there's chili, there's vegetables,
our chili was very, very basic, like tomatoes, beef. I don't even know if beans were a part of it, to be honest. It was the most limited thing ever. Salt, pepper. I don't even remember. It was the most simple thing to make. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the first meals I actually learned how to make, you know, so three, four ingredients at the most.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty sad.
Well, I mean, it's probably also pretty cheap to make. I mean, was it like, is your family big or was it like, no? So it wasn't like a scale
I'm an
thing.
Only child.
No, it wasn't a scale thing where it's like, okay, I have to cook for like 15 people, so let's make chili because it's easy. No, okay.
Nope. No. Yeah, it's kind of odd. I don't know why. Well, my dad was very picky as well. Had to have milk out of the paper carton. Real butter, real maple syrup, you know, it's just very basic.
Very basic. So, yeah. Did your mom and your dad cook, or was it more like a mom thing, or like how did that work?
My mom mostly would cook, a lot of times using stuff that she'd done in the garden. Mm-hmm. And my dad would only cook on occasion when my mom was being rebellious and chose not to.
Like were they good cooks, or would you consider them good cooks, or was it more functional, like okay, need something to eat?
Functional. My mom is a really good baker. I know that, so always enjoyed her baked treats and cooking. I can't say that she was an amazing cook or a bad cook, you know. It's just I think more functional than anything. Although I do miss her canned green beans.
Was it only green beans, or what other stuff did she can? Like, was that the only thing you were growing?
I think she can. Okay, I have to remember back. It's been a long time. So we would do green beans. And I think she did her own tomato sauce. And we didn't have any fruit trees or anything like that. So my other family did, but not her. So I can't remember what else.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. It's so long ago, Patrice.
That's fine. Like, I mean, I was just curious because.
The fruit cellar always spooked me out. So I hated going down there.
I remember that as well. As a kid, I was like, yeah, I don't want to go down there. Like, someone else go. Like my grandma.
Dirt floor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I remember that too. Like dirt floor, like basically no lighting at all. Yeah, no. I never wanted to go down
there. One little light bulb in the ceiling with a pull string.
Yeah, yep. Like a 30 watt. Yep.
So it's damp. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It would be where you'd bury the bodies in today's world, I think.
Okay. That went dark.
That place was creepy. Mm-hmm. I can't. It was creepy.
Yeah. So, like. Did you cook with your mom, or was it more like she like wanted to get it done and like leave you somewhere else?
So she did not want me under her feet.
Okay.
Yeah. I was usually in trouble and grounded most of the time, but when I wasn't, I know when I wasn't grounded, we were ordered to get out of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It was an old house. So it was a very small kitchen anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she didn't want anybody in there.
Yeah. Did you help with, like, chores after, like, cleaning up and whatever? Or was that also?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that was then your job.
I was the housekeeper when it came to that, yes.
it's quite common. Like, I talked to Tom a couple of weeks ago, and, like he was the youngest out of 10, I think, or something like that. He was the one who had to do the cleanup. So... it's kind of funny. Like it's.
Oh, hang on, we froze.
Oh, okay. It's kind of funny. It's usually like there's a split where like one part of the family cooks and the other part does the cleanup after. Like it's never, like it's never the same group does the same things, which is it's kind of interesting because I know other families where that's more like shared, where like you cook together and you clean up together. Like it's more a like everybody does everything. So really,
Well, being an only child, I had nobody to split the chores with. So it was all me. But you also get blamed when dishes break. So there is nobody to say.
It's like, oh,
somebody else did it.
It was her. She did it.
Yeah. It was the dog.
Okay. That probably didn't work.
No.
Yeah. So like,
and I didn't even have the dog to give the stuff I didn't like to, like roast beef. I hated roast beef. So no garbage disposal and no dog. So
what was it about roast beef that you didn't like?
I have no idea. I still don't like it today.
Is it like taste, texture? Like,
I don't know. I love beef. Mm-hmm. I love beef, but not roast beef. I don't know. I've hated it since I was a kid. I think it's probably because I was forced to sleep at the dinner table because I would never finish my mm-hmm. food. So
yeah, probably.
You can't leave until your plate is clean.
Yeah, I remember that. I used to hide food like in random places around the table so I could get away from
it. I wasn't that inventive. I should have been.
I can tell you it didn't work. My mom found everything. I think she got suspicious because I was done too fast.
Yeah.
It was like,
They're smarter than we think they are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, was there, any cooking in the, wider family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anything like that? Like, when you got together for, whatever, weekends or special occasions?
I think holidays, there was... Shared cooking was tough. I mean, all our houses had such tiny kitchens, mm-hmm. so there just couldn't be that many people in mm-hmm. the kitchen. So, people would bring dishes, to share. Mm-hmm. And we, I guess as the kids got tasked with things like, setting the table and, mm-hmm. and just doing all the chores that the cooks didn't want to do. So
usually how it is. Even a professional kitchen, that's how it is.
Yeah.
The help has
to be. All our homes were so tiny. Our kitchens were probably, mm-hmm. I don't know, 3 or 4 feet square. They once all the counters and appliances, very tiny houses.
That is super tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, makes you a little bit inventive. Like you have to use that space very efficiently.
Yes, I don't know. Both my house and my grandma's house were like that, with just tiny, tiny kitchens. Mm. And you'd open up the refrigerator door and it would almost touch the counters across the, maybe like a foot or two to spare, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Yeah. But your mom still cooked, so it wasn't TV dinners or anything like that, something pre-cooked?
No. Home cooking.
Home cooking. Oh, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, home cooking.
How you didn't pick that up then, early on. Like, if she was cooking, she sent you away, or you were grounded.
Oh, yeah, I was always in trouble, so... I know that's not shocking, but...
Well, not to me, to listeners, maybe. what did you do? I'm curious, what did you do?
Oh, gosh. I was always... Well, I had a pretty strict upbringing, so things like wearing makeup, my mom would get just super, super mad about that, mm-hmm. so... I would go over to a friend's house and then she'd see us walking around the neighborhood. And we'd all have makeup on. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'd be back home and trouble faster than I could. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, tried smoking when I was 10. And,
wow, that's early.
I know. Bad crowd to be with, I guess. But fortunately, I never picked up the habit.
Good for you.
Yeah, never picked up the habit, thankfully. I don't know. It was just little things that would always, I would say I was going one place and went another. And lived in a small area, so it was not uncommon for my mom to be driving down the street, catch me doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing.
I remember that.
And we didn't have cell phones either. So,
oh, yes. Which makes it even more interesting that your mom
made a big difference. I could get away with a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Nowadays, it would be super easy. I mean, nowadays, you have GPS and whatever. You can figure out where someone is, especially your kids, if you want to, pretty fast. So it's even more impressive that she found out all those things you were doing.
Well, I think it was more, when we went over to friends' houses, your parents would call for some stupid reason, right? Just to make sure that you were there without mm-hmm. saying they were making sure you were there. So if we weren't there or was reported, they walked to the store or something like that, mm-hmm. Small, so it wasn't hard to find us.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So, growing up like that, not really having any touch points with cooking, like probably you picked up a little bit of pickiness from your dad. I mean, that's pretty common. Like, I mean, I think that's something everybody does to some extent. Like certain foods that like one family member or another doesn't like or just can't eat because of allergies or whatever, you just inherit kind of. You pick that up and like never even give it a shot or never give it a try because you're like, well, like it's not around and you have all those bad, like the, I mean, I don't want to call it bad influence, but it's more like I don't know what to call
apple
it.
Doesn't fall far from the tree.
Exactly. Like it's like, I mean, you hear all those bad things about like whatever, like roast beef and you're like, okay, like why should I try that? It sounds bad. So you just inherit that and you keep it with you. And then like usually it, like over time you get more curious and you like try it and then figure out, well, it wasn't so bad or it was bad and it's okay. It's super interesting how that happens. I mean, I saw it in my family as well. Like my mom didn't like certain things because of like her childhood and how she grew up. I think it took me until my like 20s or late 20s to even try them. To even Same. Be like, hey, okay, let's let's see what this is about. And it was like, hey, this is actually good. It's like
yes. Same for me. I probably didn't start liking or testing out or trying mm-hmm. more things until I don't know, maybe 24, mm-hmm. 23, 24. I attributed that to when I started dating my ex-husband. Mm-hmm. His parents always ate out, so mm-hmm. they would often take us out to eat. So that's where I started getting a little bit more mm-hmm. experimental and trying different things. It was just being with a different family. You know, my family would never try stuff like that.
But also, I mean, so also being away. I mean, like we said, like early 20s, like that's usually you're still closer to home. There are more ties, and then over time, that like for most people at least, that like stretches a little bit. Like you get more like used to being on your own, like being your own person, being at school or whatever work, and then like 24, 25 is the time. Like you've figured out all the quote unquote adult stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, yeah. Like, there's more. Yeah, it's super yeah. interesting. Yeah. Like other than roast beef, was there anything else that you remember that you like didn't like and then you tried and you were like, hey, this is actually good or bad?
Seafood was a big one. Of course my dad hated seafood. My mm-hmm. mom liked it a little bit, but she never made it. Mm-hmm. And when I was with my my ex's parents, they liked to go to seafood. Mm-hmm. And crab was like probably the first thing that I swore I didn't like. It was my introduction into seafood. Mm-hmm. And I found that it wasn't too bad. It didn't taste fishy, you know, and then I think I ventured into shrimp and then eventually into different fishes and mm-hmm. stuff. But yeah, so that was probably the first big thing where I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. this isn't so bad.
It's actually funny, yeah. It's I remember that too. Like seafood was not something I liked, which is funny because my family absolutely loved it. So that was, yeah, there must have been some bad experience on my side where like I just, as a kid, probably ate bad seafood somewhere and then it's like, yeah. And it took me a long time to like, get over that. So yeah, it's really interesting. But you said like you picked up cooking somewhere along the way, like somewhere between like going out with your, like being at home and then going out with your like ex-husband's parents. How did that happen?
Yeah, my ex-in-laws, I guess. I think it was my dad's prompting, telling my mom that I was 12 or 13 mm-hmm. and needed to learn how to cook so I mm-hmm. could, you know, mm-hmm. take care of myself in the future. Mm-hmm. And he started showing me different things. Like I learned how to make grilled cheese and mm-hmm. He liked canned tomato soup. So I would make canned tomato soup with milk, mm-hmm. you know, ooh, instead of water.
Wow.
and then I learned how to brown ground beef. And mm-hmm. then I was able to make the chili and, you know, different things like that. So I still didn't do a lot of baking or anything like that. I love it. I just try not to do it.
So you didn't
doesn't like my figure very well.
Oh, okay. Well, I get that. So you didn't pick up the baking skills from your mom either, like.
No, yeah. I never did. My mom was not a patient teacher. She was the minute you had to do something and she had to show you, it was here, move, let me do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why my dad started, helping me make those basic things. Mm-hmm. And then I learned how to grill chicken on the grill and, and then eventually I discovered I liked garlic and things like that. So. And then I don't even know where it morphed into, just seasoning and stuff like that. I can't even remember. Probably eating at restaurants more.
Yeah, probably.
Helped me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing if your family wasn't, using a lot of seasonings, your dad wouldn't have showed you that either.
No, yeah. Salt and pepper.
Yeah, salt and pepper. And
maybe not just a little pepper. Pepper was risque.
Well, at least you had salt.
Yeah, true. It'd be the most bland food on earth without salt.
Yes, absolutely. Did you when your dad started showing you, was it something that interested you, or was it more, he kind of forced you into it, or your family forced you into it, or how did that work? I mean, I can imagine, as a teenager, that's kind of difficult, having your dad show you something.
I had an interest. I'm a pretty practical person, so I've always been that way. So for me, I had enough interest because I knew I was going to have to eat and cook for myself eventually. So I had limited interest in it, I guess, just to get the job done, I think, more than anything. And especially in those years of my teen years. And he was pretty patient. I don't ever recall any kitchen disasters or anything like that. No setting off the smoke detectors, which I do from time to time here now on occasion.
I mean, that happens to everyone. Just ask my family. I set up the entire house's alarm system once because I was, I don't know what I was doing. I think I was cleaning. I was cleaning the pans at night, and they'd already gone to bed and set up the smoke detectors and they're connected to the alarm. And I was okay. At 10 PM. And I didn't know how to turn it off because I didn't have the code for it. So.
Oh my gosh.
That was a fun night.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You said you were interested to some extent into it. Did you start cooking on your own, or was it always with your dad together something, and you never did it?
We didn't do it together. There's no stovetop stories to tell. But yeah, when I got to a point where, I did it once or twice where, he was guiding me and then I was on my own. So everything has been pretty on my own for the most part.
He would show you the basics and then here, figure it out.
Yeah. But of course, I don't know for other people back in the 80s, I guess it was family recipes and cookbooks then where, I didn't think, I can brown ground beef. What recipes can I make? I never was discovering anything in cookbooks or anything like that. So I guess carried on the family tradition of the however many handful of meals that we, five or 10 meals maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty usual. You start with the things that your family likes or that your family makes that, venture from that. TV shows were probably around, cooking shows to some extent, not as big as today, obviously. But I think the first ones were around that time. So yeah, that makes sense. And then from that point on, did you cook regularly for the family? Was that something you basically, because your mom didn't want to do it all the time, you took over, or was it a rare occasion?
Rare occasion. We had a family business when I was in my mid-teens, so I spent a lot of my evenings working at the family business until, late at night. So I ordered pizza a lot from the store next door to our parents' dry cleaners. So,
Well, okay, that makes sense. I mean, that also makes sense then that your family or your mom, like, especially probably didn't have too much patience or time to, like, cook at that point. Like, I mean, if you have a business, you're usually pretty busy.
We had a dry cleaning business, and all through high school, I worked almost the equivalent of a full-time job while going to high school. So I did a lot of most evenings, and then on the weekends, I'd do 2 8-hour days on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So by the time I was able to start earning my own money and stuff, I started my habit of eating out. Which has been strong for the last 30 plus years, but until coronavirus hit.
So not much cooking since then, like a lot of eating out. Like, did you cook at all, or was
a lot
it
of eating out? Yeah, we did. I think when I was about 19 or 20, I worked in a high-end grocery store, and we had a little department. It was like a gift department where they had cookbooks and china and things like that. And I found a couple cookbooks that were designed to hand off to college kids. And at that time I had moved out on my own and stuff too. So I started making recipes from those two binders, and probably still have the sugar cookie recipe from that 20 years ago, because it was a good recipe. So that's when I started, I guess, cooking a little bit more. Yeah, I'll have to look up the book names for you. It's
we'll find it.
One was geared towards boys and one was geared towards girls. It was like everything. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out and get that to you.
That would be super interesting to see, like, what kind of cookbooks were around.
Yeah, no pictures, not color. It was two little three-ring binders. And they were simple recipes. They're designed for, you know, kids that are just out on their own or in college dorms, stuff like that. So
kids that haven't cooked their entire life and now have to figure it out somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, they're simple, simple recipes that don't take a lot of time. Yep.
Yeah. So, like, but like between then, like you said, like early 20s till now, did you cook a lot, or was that like a, I don't know, once a year, twice a year thing?
Oh, when I was broker, more broke, it was probably I cooked a little more at home, but it was convenience stuff because I was always a student and working. It took me, I put myself through college, so it took me a long time to get my 2 degrees. So it was a lot of convenience stuff. I remember one of my ex's go-to meals was Hamburger Helper. Gross. Yeah, so they did a lot of, we did a lot of that. We did simple grilling, anything that was just, you know, fast that you could get done quickly. And Yeah, exactly. It was probably when I met my current husband and we got married is probably when I started. We did eat out quite a bit, but that's when I started getting a lot better at cooking and, you know, following more recipes. The internet was out by then. So, helps. You know, the recipes, any recipe you could ever want. Yeah.
When did you move out to Arizona?
In 2006.
2006. Okay. So that was.
So I was probably, 15 years ago, roughly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
14.
14, yeah. 15 years ago. Okay. Did that change the type of food you liked or the type of food you cooked? I mean, coming from Ohio.
When we first got out here, the meat tastes totally different. Ohio grass-fed tastes completely different than whatever our cows eat here. I don't.
Dust.
Cactus.
Dust.
Right? Exactly. So I remember the first meal we cooked in our new place, we had hardly any cookware because all of our stuff was still being trucked across country. We made spaghetti, which, you know, easy, right? Jarred sauce and ground beef. And neither one of us could eat it. We thought something was wrong with the meat. Like, we thought we had purchased spoiled meat from the grocery store. So that was an acquired taste. And then I really started figuring out that I'm pretty sure I'm honorary Latino, because I really like Mexican cuisine a lot. I used to be big Italian, but Mexican's definitely more my jam.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it took a little while.
Same thing happened to me. Like when I moved to Arizona, maybe. I picked up Mexican. I was like, hey, this is good. And now I'm missing it.
Yeah. And I love the spicy foods. So the Mexican spicy foods. Because I know there's different spices.
Yes. Other than like spicy food.
Indian is completely different from Korean. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hearing like you liked like experience Mexican food, Korean, Indian, anything else you experienced and liked? Italian, obviously.
Yeah, Italian's a gimme. I could live on tomato sauce and basil and garlic probably the rest of my life. Chinese I ventured into in college, you know, with fried rice. That was like my first intro into Chinese, American Chinese.
Yeah, in air quotes, Chinese.
Yeah, just like Ohio Mexican, you know, it's like Chi-Chi's. Yeah, completely different. There's so many Mexican selections out here. So I definitely get to experience a lot of that. Yeah.
I think Bourdain once said, Anthony Bourdain, that like no matter where you eat in the US, it's always Mexican. Because there's so many Mexican chefs. It's basically every kitchen, like no matter what it is, it's always run by Mexicans.
Oh, even when you go to the Japanese steakhouse, it's Mexican chefs. So, yeah, that is true.
There's actually a very good movie about that. I'm blanking on the name. I think it's East Side Sushi or something like that. I have to look that up. Where like a Mexican chef wants to learn like sushi, how to make sushi. So I'll look that up. I think it was East Side Sushi.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah.
Something on Netflix. Yeah. So, so you moved to Arizona. Did you meet Mike before or after? I don't even remember that.
Yeah. We met each other in Ohio and then moved out here.
Okay. So you move here, get to know all those different cuisines. Did that influence your desire to cook a little bit, or was it like, oh no, this is great. Like I have access to everything I want and I never have to do any cleanup after.
Well, I do really like that, that consequence of eating out. But yeah, I've definitely broadened my horizons. I find I get if I have meals I really like from restaurants, I try to figure out what's in them and just try to make them myself. And one thing I've always been super interested in learning, which I haven't done yet, is plating. I think I really like to eat out because the presentation looks so good. And when I'm at home, it's just kind of meh. You know, it's no good. So, I should be better at plating and then I could make an excellent food photographer, but.
Have you tried researching that or getting into it more, like figuring out how to do it? Or is it like, you're not there yet?
A little bit. I will get my feathers in a bunch here. There and I'll go look and see if there's some court. I'm pretty sure I have the right search terms. So I'm thinking the photography angle is probably the better way to go because they'll, you know, help you for presentation. So I think I'll probably end up down that route at some point. But yeah, the eating out definitely helped fuel my desire to learn things like how to not just have three piles of stuff on your plate, you know, to make it look like it came from a restaurant.
And all three,
I'm really not good at that yet.
And all three piles are brown or something like that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really interesting, like the plating thing, because for me, like, it wasn't as important in the beginning. Like, it was more about the result and about, like, does it taste good? And then over time, like, as I got better and better at, like, the food side and, like, preparing it was kind of getting easier and easier. I like started looking into plating more and like, okay, figuring out, okay, now that I like, I don't know, now that I know how to make like a really good, whatever, scrambled egg, how do I present that so it doesn't look disgusting? And then like got more from that side.
Yeah.
Like figuring out how to do figuring out the basics.
That's why
first,
I really like to eat out.
Yeah, it's true.
I really like to see what they do. And the cooking shows are always fun to watch, especially like the Chopped and stuff, because you can see how, you know, they're judged on presentations. Mm-hmm. So I always like to see what they do on that.
Yeah. And what they do under pressure, like with like very little time, like you see the raw ingredient, like the cooked food basically. And they have like whatever, a minute to go. And then like they somehow finish that in a minute.
Yes.
And it looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always, that's true. It's always very, very interesting. It's something I definitely picked up from like watching a lot of chefs and like seeing how they stack things. Like it's a lot of it is stacking. Like it's knowing what to stack on top of what and like how to build up a plate. It's not like, I think that the biggest mistake that you make is like you have a big plate and you fill it. And there's no space on it.
Yeah.
Like it's basically, it's just full. And that's, it works sometimes, like with a salad or something, you can do that. But with most foods, it's like less is more. Like they have more space to work with. It's kind of like, I figured out it's kind of an art. Like it's really, I mean, you can go really overboard and like start painting your plates.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That dips into the like, baker's realm a little bit.
It does.
How they're always they'll do decorative stuff on their plate edges, especially with like the raspberry sauce and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you can do that with like whatever, like basil pesto or like whatever sauce you have. You can do that. That's a little bit too far for me. Like I'm not there yet. Like I'm not a. Well, sometimes I think sometimes it's also it's fun to do, but it's also at some point you're like, well, is it worth the time? Like if you're just cooking for you and your family, is that like really worth the time, like the investment to really make it, like spend 5 minutes plating everything and then your family just like meshes their heads into it and like just destroys everything like 5 seconds? Yeah, probably not. But it's fun. Like it's definitely fun to do.
It's for me, it's a challenge just to see if I can get it to look, it always tastes appetizing, but it never, for me, never goes up to my standards of how it should look on a plate. Mm-hmm. But I have nothing to build upon as far as knowing what to do. So we just eat it.
Well, I mean, nowadays with the internet and everything, there's probably a YouTube like video series that teaches you how to do it.
I'm sure
there is. Or something.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah. Speaking of baking and like designing, was that something your mom did? Like we talked about your mom's baked treats and like that she enjoyed and was good at baking. Like what kind of things did she do?
I think early on she got into cake decorating a little bit, but you know, I remember being in like first or second grade and having a Bugs Bunny cake or a Tweety Bird cake.
Wow.
Or, she would get the formed cake pans that would be in the shape of Bugs Bunny's head, and she would do the icing to look like Bugs Bunny, and that lasted a few years, and then she never really got serious about it. It was more just for like birthday cakes. And my mom was also a sewer, so her craft was being behind the sewing machine. But she did cookies a lot. She was really good for pies and cobblers and crisps. Mostly I would say mostly like cookies and pies and stuff. Nothing like what we're used to seeing on TV nowadays, you know?
So. For sure. But I mean, it's still like, I mean, you must have been very popular in school. Like if you had like a mom that could like make a Bugs Bunny cake or something like that, you can only imagine that. I would have loved to have that.
Yeah. I don't know. We got beat out because we had a kid whose parents owned a Dairy Queen.
Oh, so no.
for his birthday, we would all get Dairy Queen, you know, so of course that topped cake any day of the week. So,
Okay.
And I went to school with him all through grade school. Oh, so no.
Too bad. As a kid, you still appreciate it, right? I mean, your mom made that and it looks cool and it's fun and like you just enjoy it. Yeah.
They were good. She also did jams and preserves and stuff too. One of my great grandmother had cherry trees and berry bushes and stuff in her yard, so she did a ton of preserves, you know, peach preserves, and we did raspberry, blackberry, cherry, all that.
Yeah. I mean, for the cold Ohio winters, right? Yeah, I remember that. So. Very recently you picked up cooking more, you said. Is it like really like this year, the whole corona thing, or was that like even happening before a little bit?
I would say over the last 5 or 10 years I've definitely honed my cooking skills. I'm more, because I like to eat and I found more food that I like. I try to We do cook, but, you know, being two people that work, it's also easy to eat out at lunch and eat out at dinner. And, so I picked up a lot of skills along the way, got better at grilling, just got better at making different dishes. And then, yes, with coronavirus, I'm cooking 100% of the time. And once in a while, we'll still get takeout. But, you know, it's just, I hate paying so much money for food and then having to drive 15 minutes home and it's not as good because it's, you know, not fresh. So we do more cooking now. And of course, with lack of ingredients and staples and stuff like that, I've even had to push my envelope a little further, you know, learning how to make my own pasta, learning how to do haircuts, just name it. It's been...
Yeah, I remember, like, we talked about the pasta thing. So I was very curious about that. Like, how was that? Like, making a pasta for the first time?
It was really cool because we have not had pasta in the stores for over a month now.
Wow.
No rice and pasta to be found anywhere.
Should send you some.
And I know, flour, too. Like,
we got stores full of that stuff here.
Oh my gosh, it's so barren here. And I don't know if all of Phoenix is like that, but my particular area is. And even on the Nextdoor app, there's like flour sightings and stuff. Oh, hey, Safeway has flour, you know, and everybody flocks to get flour. Like
5 minutes later, it's gone.
So, fortunately, Amazon has deemed pasta makers an essential piece of life, so I was able to get my pasta maker pretty darn fast. I think the breaking straw of everything was 4 boxes of Barilla pasta for $68 on Amazon. Wow.
Jesus. And that's like $4 usually.
Yes. So, you know, normally they're 10 for 10. At the most.
Yeah.
So I was bound and determined not to let it, you know, keep me from ever eating pasta again, although I should probably not eat pasta because, you know, it's not very good on the diet. But we got the pasta maker and I was researching. I have one of those big KitchenAid mixers that I never use because we eat out a lot. But they have a gadget that goes on the front of that. Yeah, I know. And then they had one that clips onto your counter. So I chose to do the counter clipping one because I could get that one a little faster. I found it to be, I don't make a lot of dough and stuff. I'm not a big baker. So that was, it's an experience. Dough's funky, you know, it makes your hands really sticky. And it was fun though. I liked it. I hate using the rolling pin and stuff. So this thing's very handy because it rolls everything out. You just put it into a ball, slice it, and then feed it through a few times.
Exactly. Yeah.
It tasted very good.
The thing with dough, what I like, even as a kid, found super interesting and even as an adult, is like you start like kneading the dough with your hands, and it's sticky and it sticks everywhere and it's kind of a mess, and you keep going and you keep going and keep going, and it gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, and all of a sudden you have a bowl and your hands are more or less clean. I mean, yeah, you still have to should wash them, obviously. But like there's very little left. Like everything somehow got together and you have this really neat bowl of dough. And that's it still fascinates me. Like something that's really funny somehow. Like it's, I said, like you have this mess and then you turn the mess into something nice.
Yeah, flour. My husband thinks flour is the most miraculous ingredient ever because it goes into so many things.
So. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's like, it makes everything.
Yeah, it's also in everything. Yeah.
So our first experiment was I wanted to do beef and noodles. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a big pot roast person, but I do enjoy it in beef and noodles once it has a little sauce and pasta with it. And so I wanted to make just kind of some thick, wide, sturdy noodles. Mm-hmm. And I think I made them a little thicker than I should have. So it was more like gnocchi or dumplings, but it was, they tasted great, you know, so next time I'll do it differently.
did you make that together with Mike, or was that like, was it you more?
It actually kind of helped to have two people because one could kind of catch it coming out of the roller while the other was feeding it in and making sure it wasn't falling all over the counter. So yeah, we definitely had some help with that. And I did forget to buy the pasta drying rack. So I had to improvise with wood skewers and a red Solo cup.
So, that works. Yeah,
it worked.
Yeah. That's the other thing I really enjoy about cooking and about, I think, making pasta specifically. It's something you can do together. Like it's a very social thing. Like you work together on it. Like it takes a little while. I mean, I don't know what your experience is. I think making pasta is actually fairly easy. Very few ingredients. All you need is time. Like, it's the only real issue with it. Like, you need a little bit more time to really make it. On the other hand, like, the result is usually, I mean, even if it's, like, whatever, misshapen and too big and whatever, I still think it tastes better. Like, better than the perfect, dried, whatever ones. Like, yeah, so... I haven't made that in a while. I mean, also because I'm trying to stay away from flour and from carbs. it's fun. Like, it's a fun thing you can make together, and you can even, like, with friends or whatever, you can get together and make pasta, and it's like a social thing. I mean, kind of like it used to be in Italy, where like the older women, like the grandmas, would get together. Like in their little village, and they would like sit together all day and make pasta and like talk, basically.
Yeah.
And that was their,
it's their thing. Big social thing. Yeah.
And I think it's still like, you can still do that. And I think that's fun. That's why I asked like whether you made it with Mike, because I think that's an important ingredient in making pasta. It's like not doing it on your own, because it's kind of boring if you do it yourself. Yeah. So
yeah, the machine's pretty fancy. I mean, it's fun to use. So
it's fancy and it's simple, right? I mean, it's one of those Italian like countertop thingies. Like it's not high tech at all, but it works.
I know. I'm anxious to try the ravioli cutter. Mm-hmm. It'll do raviolis, so that'll be an experiment. Maybe once he gets back. So
you're stepping things up. Ravioli are more difficult.
Yeah, well, we'll see. They look really small. Like, I don't know.
They're relatively difficult for pasta, because you have to get the filling right. If it's too much liquid or whatever, it just leaks out. Or if the dough is too thin, it just breaks. If it's too thick, it's like dumplings, as you said, like it's filled dumplings. So that's more difficult. So you're adventurous. You're trying, like, jumping right in there. But it's fun. Well, like, it's really fun to make.
Now, so.
It's definitely, I can definitely recommend it. It's fun to make. Like, I've made it, and, like, it's definitely something, like, also very versatile. Like it's something like you can like the same principle, like a filling in a like in the pasta, you can do like all kinds of different things. Like I mean, Italy, there like I don't know how many different kinds of filled pasta variants, but like you can figure out your own versions where it's like I don't know. You could probably combine Mexican like do like a taco pasta thing or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you could do something like that. So
yeah,
it will be
for
interesting.
Sure. I'll have to do that Mexican ravioli.
Yeah, something like that. I could like I bet that that would work somehow. So yeah.
Like carnitas, but with
yeah, carnitas,
ravioli.
But like ravioli carnitas, something like that. So yeah, I could.
Well, you know, we use pasta with beef Wellington or you know, dough with beef Wellington. So why not with Mexican?
It's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. So the last thing I wanted to ask you about is you mentioned weird food combinations that you have done. And I'm very curious to hear what those were.
Okay. This will probably gross everybody out, but in our family, we always did grilled cheese and put grape jelly on the top of it. Like on the outside of the, I think you get that sweet and salty combination, but yeah. So I remember Mike, he was like, "What are you doing?" Like, you just have to try it. Trust me.
I could definitely see that. Like the very rich, like almost salty grilled cheese with like butter and everything, and then something sweet on
top.
Yeah, I can totally see
that. Yeah, boy, maybe I'll have to have that for lunch today.
Should try to find a recipe for that. Let's see.
I don't know if anybody else does it. Like, I literally think my family's the only family in the world that does it.
Well, if not, then we'll figure something out. We'll put the recipe in the show notes, and then someone else will can try that and report back.
No, fortunately, it'll be really easy.
True. No, I could totally see that. Any other like weird, disgusting foods?
I know a big thing in Ohio they really like to do is put chili on top of spaghetti. Like we have a whole restaurant that does that. Well, I don't know. It's with spaghetti sauce and chili. So
okay, yeah, okay. That's a little bit stranger. I mean, I can definitely see that. I mean, spaghetti is very like forgiving. There's the Italian like bolognese sauce. It's not that different. So yeah, I could definitely see that. Any other?
Maybe some regional weird foods would be a good episode.
Oh, like, what would be a regional weird food for Ohio?
I don't know. I don't know if everybody does the grilled cheese and grape jelly or if it's just us, but that definitely came out of Ohio. So.
Yeah, I don't know what the...
I don't know. I think certain areas, especially states, are known for different things. So
that's true. Yeah, that is definitely true.
We do Buckeyes, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of
thinking...
Have
you ever heard of the Buckeyes? Like,
I think I have, yeah. But like for the listeners...
Yeah, they
like,
do.
Can you explain
Okay, it? So in Ohio, of course, it's the Buckeye State, and... if you've seen a buckeye, it's dark brown and has a little beige circle on top. They're poisonous. You're not supposed to eat them. Mm-hmm. But they like to make mimic of buckeyes, which is basically peanut butter and dipped in chocolate. So that's not, you know, but I don't know that anybody else calls them buckeyes. Mm-hmm. So here we call them Reese peanut butter cups, I guess. Yeah. But
I was kind of wondering what the Phoenix or Phoenix area version of that would be, or Arizona in general. I think it would be fry bread, to be honest.
You think?
Yeah, I would say so.
What about prickly pear?
Prickly pear, yeah. Well, that's, yeah. I don't know. I don't know whether I would consider that weird. I mean, prickly pear, like lemonade is like...
It tastes good.
Tastes good,
yeah,
exactly.
Margaritas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what we did.
Jelly.
Picked up prickly pear lemonade and then made margaritas out of that.
Yeah,
I miss that. Yeah, as I said, like, I would say fry bread is probably, like, a more weird thing. I mean, it's also not that different, but it's definitely more strange and harder to make. Like, it's like you get so much bad fry bread in Phoenix. So you have to know where to go. I didn't know about it until recently, so...
Well, where's a good place to go? I'll try it sometime when everything opens back up.
Yeah, there's a fry bread house, and I'm trying to remember where that was. But that's basically, it's run by, like, natives. So they, like, because it's a, like, Native American, like, traditional thing. So, and it is run, actually, by a family there. But I have to look it up. I'll put it in the show notes, and then I'll send it to you as well. It's called the Fry Bread House. That's all I remember. I mean, it's closed probably by now, but... Or at least right now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It might, like, not,
Yeah, but we went there once and, like, that was really good. But it's a strange, definitely a stranger type of food. Like, it's not something you would see other places. You would expect, like, frying bread. Yeah. It's, like, kind of strange. I mean, yeah, it's kind of, well, I mean, donuts are fried too, so...
I was going to say, donuts or fried bread.
But. Okay, I get that. Yeah, but said, I was kind of thinking, like, what would be the Arizona version of weird foods?
I don't know, we'll have to think on that. The scorpion suckers are pretty interesting.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I got one, like, the very first
touristy.
Time. Yeah, very first time I came to Arizona, I got one from Werner, so... I think I gave it away
when they first came here.
Yeah,
ours ate them.
No, I gave
including
it away.
The scorpion.
yeah,
I don't blame you.
Nah, I gave it away. All right. Yeah, I think we're also good on time. Is there anything you want to share? Anything that came up where you're like, hey, I want to talk about that? I have a last question.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to remember to get those two college cookbooks for you if I can find them and get you the names of those. But no, I can't think of anything else.
Oh, cool. I just wanted to follow up on the, like, cooking and Corona thing, since that's, like, a very special thing. Do you think you're going to continue cooking, or will you go back to, like, eating out more?
I'm kind of craving being served for a change and not having to do a cleanup.
Mike could do that.
No. He's just learning to cook, so that's been an adventure, but he's doing pretty good.
Okay, I will have to interview him then.
I do think we're going to have a lot more food. I've gotten a lot less picky, not in type of food, but what I want to make. So I used to be more, you know, I don't want to spend the effort to do this or that. Now I'm just whipping stuff up, you know,
on the side.
So yeah, like... I can do it. Well, it's kind of nice, you know, we're working from home, so I can run out and grill shrimp on the grill for lunch, where I couldn't really do that at work. So
that's so true.
So I'm really enjoying that. I think, it definitely will be a thing moving forward for us, and budget too, you know, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eating out budget is pretty high, you know.
Yes. So, you pay that 400% markup that, like, almost every restaurant has to charge you just to make money.
And then make sure you tip on that 400% markup too.
True. Yes, that's absolutely true. Yeah, I think we'll have we'll have to follow up on that, like, in a year or two, and we'll see, like,
back to old habits.
Well, or if you have improved your plating skills and now you're the master plater and, like, have, like, a, I don't know, Instagram stream full of awesome pictures. Like, we'll see, right?
It'll probably be lots of food. I don't know. I swore off food porn years ago.
It might come back.
But now I see, like, now I see all this bakers and stuff, and I want to learn that skill. So we'll see.
All right. We'll follow up on that in a little while. We'll see. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Tell everybody where they can find you if they want to reach out or share their weird stories with you. Their weird states, food or whatever.
Well, my Facebook's pretty open, so just facebook.com/BethMyers. My Instagram accounts are pitiful. I don't keep up on them like I should. Facebook's probably the best way.
All right. Yeah, definitely. If you have weird food from your state, also reach out to me. You can find everything I do on thepatrice.com. And you can find this very podcast on foodieflashback.com or at foodieflashback on Twitter. There's also Twitter, Beth. I don't know whether you have one.
Oh, yeah. I have an account created. I don't use it. Okay. Facebook's like my jam.
Yeah, Twitter is a weird place anyway. But it's good for promoting things. If you have a story to tell, foodie or not, depending also on your definition of a foodie, even if like Tom, where your approach to food is purely functional, if you want to be on the show, then reach out to me either on Twitter, or there's a form on foodieflashback.com. Just fill that out, or reach out to me on the many other platforms. You will find me, very easy to find, and then we'll set something up. And with that, that's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Beth, again for being here, and talk to you next week.
Thanks.